And open lines. I think I'm going to have a lunatic hotline one night. Just lunatics call the show. That's it for open lines on that hotline. Of course, anybody else could call as well. Don't do it tonight. Lunatics, don't call. We're going to come back in a moment. We'll take your other calls. Final hour to go here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, and welcome to the open lines, and let's go to the person who's been on hold the longest. That would be Austin in Casper, Wyoming. Austin, thank you for holding so long.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Norrie. Thanks for keeping me on. It's been about a month since I first tried to get on, and it's been, you know, worth the persistence.
Good.
I wanted to touch base on two things. One, the first night I tried to call in, you were talking about games. It was your four-hour call-in night.
Mm-hmm.
You were talking about games that you played as kids and you didn't have internet or video games or anything like that. You talked about cap guns. My stepbrother and I used to play with our cap guns, being from Wyoming, and I was Doc and he was Wyatt. So I wanted to give you a little background on why I'm out there. My dad showed me Ghostbusters when I was like 4 years old, and I was always hooked on that line of I ain't afraid of no ghost.
I love it.
And when I was five, he brought me up here to Casper. We're from a little cow town called Lusk, about 1,500 people in the east of Wyoming out on the prairie. And he drove me the 100 miles up here to see Ghostbusters 2, and just I loved it. And since then, I've kind of been hooked on the paranormal and everything about it.
That's
and
great.
He has too. So, you know, when we dealt with the poltergeist in our house, and we're pretty sure it was a poltergeist, and, you know, if you want to ask me some questions about that, you're more than welcome. But my question is regarding the shadow people. You had a guest on here several weeks ago that brought up the Hat Man.
Heidi Hollis.
That would be correct. And she brought up the Hat Man, and that was one that I had never heard of. So I immediately hit the internet and started looking that up and seeing what that all meant. And that brought me into the shadow people and everything. And when I first called several weeks ago on the open caller night, you guys just ran out of time, which I understand because I've been in the business. The other part is I called a couple weeks ago. My phone was just not behaving well. I finally got a reliable phone. And I think all of that was a higher power giving me time.
Telling you to wait. Yeah.
Yeah. Do more research. I have done plenty of research on the shadow people, and I cannot find any evidence that there are actually any reason they want to harm us. They show up to people and they freak them out.
Sure.
Because they look sinister and but they're just apparitions in my opinion. And, I cannot find any evidence to support anything bad actually happens to people afterwards.
No, I agree with you. I think the shadow people float in and float out, but I don't think they really attack people. Hat people, that could be something else.
Well, the Hat Man, you know, I'm from Wyoming. You know, I'm an old cowpuncher. I'm 30 years old. I've worked cattle and everything. You walk into a house, you take your hat off. If he shows up in my room, I'm going to go, you bleepity bleep, take your hat off. You know?
Please.
But,
yeah.
You know, we'll see how that goes. I ain't afraid of no ghost, right?
Got it.
So I appreciate the answer, but, you know, it really confuses me that, you know, I operate on evidence, as do you, and I cannot find any evidence, you know, that...
That they're violent.
They just float in and float out. I think that's a great way to put it. I think it's in the Dean Koontz novel, Odd Thomas.
That's right.
That was kind of about shadow people in a lot of ways.
They could be from another dimension, and there's just this overlap.
And well, if you buy into the multidimensional theory, you know, that everything happens in another dimension, you know, that would definitely be...
You got
absolutely
it.
Absolutely a possibility.
All right. I'm glad you checked in. Hey, next week, by the way, Michi Okaku will be our guest during the week. So make sure you're part of that. We're going to talk with him about things going on in space and time travel and all those other great things. Michael is in Los Angeles. Hey, Michael, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, George.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I want to talk about a danger that might rank up there with EMPs. And what I'm going to entitle this is, this may be the most prolific infectious form of pathogen transmission.
Okay.
And that is that, I don't know if you know this, but people spit when they talk.
Yeah. No, you're right. Let me tell you a real quick story, and then we'll get back to you. A couple years ago.
I wanted to finish.
All right. Well, let me finish, and then you can finish. I'm not going to hang up on you. You're right about spitting. I went through an episode with a guy who was about a foot away from me, and he couldn't stop spitting, and I had to run away. Now it's your turn.
I was just going to say that if you have an Android phone that you can talk into, and if you've noticed, after you get through talking into it, if you look at the screen in such a way, you can see all those little droplets all over the screen.
You're killing me.
And that, I know I'm ruining it for everybody. Every time you go out to eat and all those people are talking over your food, they're bringing the food to you or cooking your food in the back, having conversations. I don't know. I mean, what do you think? I mean,
they say the phone is one of the germiest things out there.
Well, that's probably because people are spitting all over it.
So something must have happened to you for you to say this.
It just occurred to me. And, you guys talk about, right now you're talking about this contagious
Ebola.
Ebola disease. And I thought this might fit in. And, I thought it might be good for people to consider that because it could very well, if the flu's going around real bad, it might not be a good idea to go someplace where someone's talking over your food. Who knows?
Nothing worse than talking to someone and you get spit on. Nothing worse than that. Tommy doesn't shake hands. We go to these events all around the country, and when he's out, he does the knuckle fist thing. He does not shake hands. I know a woman who will not touch the railing of an escalator. She'll pull her sweater over her hand. Let's go to Chris, who's sweeping a street somewhere in New York. Hey, Chris, welcome to the show.
How's it going, George?
I'm doing fine. So whereabouts in New York are you?
Right now I'm on 787 coming through Cohoes.
I bet you sweep up all kinds of stuff.
Oh, man, don't even get me started about that.
That's a show all by itself.
Oh, man, you wouldn't even believe it. And I'm not even sweeping streets. I do like a parking lot, like a Walmart.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And if I didn't work for one night, you wouldn't even believe how bad it would be by the next day.
People throw everything all over the place, don't they?
I don't even want to think about it. I wear gloves to work. Let's just say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
But, and really big fan of the show.
Thank you.
I want to say that.
Appreciate
it. And I'm 22 years old, and I just wanted to ask you, number one, how many younger people would you even think listen to a show like this?
Oh, my God, it's growing. It's growing a lot.
I never even knew about it. I mean, I was scrolling through, I get sick of the same songs on the radio every single night.
Sure.
I found your show a couple months ago. I've been listening to it even at my house on my night off. Pretty crazy.
We've got 12-year-olds that listen. We've got 90-year-olds that listen. It just runs the gamut. It's an amazing presentation of people.
Definitely, no doubt. But I really wanted to know, I'm just going to use my girlfriend for an example.
Okay.
I don't hear this. But, I started telling her things about, that one show with the Sevens and the Malaysian Airline. And she hadn't even heard of the Ebola, nothing like that. And most of the time when I'm talking to people about this stuff, I'm just the young anarchist conspiracy theorist guy. So I was wondering, what could I do to not sound so crazy or find, some kind of website?
Well, you're not crazy, but, something for her to look at, you mean?
Somewhere I could get some information on anything.
Just go to, you've got our website, right? Coast2coastam.com?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you got that. DrudgeReport.com. Matt does a great job getting incredible stories out all over the place. DrudgeReport.com. And I also go to CNN, I go to Fox News, I go to Reuters every day. But put Drudge Report, and we've got stories too. So I would put Drudge and Coast to Coast way up there on your list. And,
right.
And do that every day. I mean, you'll be amazed at the stories you get, and share them with her. I mean, if she doesn't know about the Ebola, she's got to learn this stuff.
Yeah, I'm like not like totally freaky paranoid about everything, but I like to, like, open-minded would kind of be the word. Like, I like to know both sides of the argument. You know what I'm
saying? And if you really want to look at some conspiratorial stuff, go to InfoWars, I-N-F-O, InfoWars.com. That's our buddy Alex Jones's website.
Cool. Because I was just going to say, if you go and type in, 9/11 conspiracy on Google, I mean, you're not going to get anything legit. You know what I'm saying?
So go to his website, too.
What's that?
Yeah. Infowars.com.
Infowars.com. All right.
All right, Chris. Drive carefully out there in the Big Apple. We've got another text, and we have Tom.
So I wonder what the grossest thing he's ever swept up would be.
Oh, well. I don't even want to ask.
Ah, man. So this one's from Carol in Boise, Idaho.
I want to do a lunatic hotline, though, pretty soon.
That'd be interesting. I bet we get a lot of calls.
You know what else we should do?
What?
Have you ever been on hold and you've got the weirdest on hold stories?
We don't have enough time for the stories.
You call somebody for help and they give you the runaround, or, I mean, it's just, that would be a great
hotline. Like customer service is gone.
It is gone. And then I got to tell you, a lot of times you call these toll-free numbers, you end up with somebody in India.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what?
Because they farm it out.
Yeah.
So this one's from Carol in Boise, Idaho. And she says, George.
We were just there.
We were. I've been having a bunch of personal problems. I told myself to be positive and things would work out. Guess what? They did. What's your take on being positive, and how can it help in a time of crisis?
Look, we're human beings. We are subject to the ups and downs in life. Believe me, we have sadness, we have sickness, we have tragedies. You got to be able to overcome them, and you got to stay positive as much as you can. If you surround yourself with negativity, that black cloud is going to pull you down. And you got to fight that.
I think your mental state is so important.
Oh, stress kills. Mm-hmm. I absolutely believe stress kills. Long time ago, I was under incredible amounts of stress, and I got really, really sick. And you really need to be careful.
You do.
Yep. All right. Thanks.
See ya.
Let's go to Chris in Columbus, Ohio, on the wild card line. Hey, Chris. Thanks for calling.
Hi, I like to make people laugh once in a while. I used to be a street sweeper, and they fired me. You know why?
Why?
Couldn't keep my mind in the gutter.
All right, good.
Anyway, back years ago from the Art Bell days, Ed Dames used to come on, and during the comets and asteroids that went by, he said there was a pathogen that was released. I believe that was the Ebola virus.
Some people think Leonard Horowitz thinks that Ebola was passed in on.
And the other thing was what I called in about was this is really the perfect storm, the Ebola virus. If I was a terrorist, which I'm not, I would probably get vials of blood and spit, and I would bring it to this country, and I would infect the people. It's something that...
And just a few people.
Just a few. I mean, it's the perfect storm, the perfect weapon. But I also want to ask, has anyone heard from Red Elk, the Indian that used to come on the show?
Lisa, my executive producer, I think has been trying to get a hold of him. I haven't talked to him in 4 or 5 years, at
least. Did you guys have a beef or something?
With Red Elk?
Yeah.
No.
Something about... I thought something like he invited you and you didn't show up or something.
No, he hasn't invited me anywhere.
Oh, okay. It would be great to hear from him again. And this show would go all the way back to Art Bell in 1998, and it's a fun show. Oh, the other thing I want to ask of this hotline you were talking about.
Which one? The
lunatic?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you going to do that live instead of the screener?
No, the screener is always there. That's Tommy's job.
How are you going to get a lunatic with that?
No. You know, all Tom really wants is he wants to make sure the phone quality's good, I don't know what you're talking. When you call me, I have no idea what you're calling about. He might. I don't.
I thought maybe
all he does is
callers calling about that or something.
See, in the old days, people would call and say, "Hi, I'm Steve calling from Mississippi, east of the Rockies." I do that now because your name's
I'm a Cherokee Indian, and that's why I like to hear about how Red Oak is doing. I'm known as Spirit Equal or Chautauqua.
We'll keep trying. We'll keep trying. Okay, thanks.
Okay, loved it.
All right.
Okay, take care, George.
You too. Next up, we go to Steve in Mississippi, east of the Rockies. Steven, you're up with me. Go ahead.
How you doing, George?
Good, Steve. How about you?
It's an honor to finally talk to you.
Thank you.
I'm in South Mississippi. I'm about an hour away from New Orleans, right between New Orleans and Biloxi, Mississippi.
What city would you be in?
Picayune.
Picayune, yeah. Nice little town.
What I want to talk to you about last night, you was talking about the Obama phones. Well, I've been disabled for about 14 years, and I've had a Obama phone for about 5 years, and something went wrong with it, and I had to call customer service, and I noticed the lady had an accent that wasn't of this country.
Yeah, you were kicked out to India or someplace.
And I said, by the way, where are you located? She said, Brazil.
Yeah, all of them. Said, everything's farmed out. It's amazing.
And I said, I think she said Rio de Janeiro.
Rio used to be a nice spot. It's a trouble spot now.
Yeah, yeah, with the drug cartels and all the... It's dangerous to even go over there and vacation now.
Yeah, it sure is. I had a bad experience down there in Mexico.
I mean, why couldn't they, get Americans to do their customer service? You know,
they used to. It's probably it's cheaper now.
Yeah, I guess because it's a lot cheaper.
That's right. Pay somebody $1 an hour to answer the phones and stuff like that. And then they have all your information. There's one thing about the internet, and if you pay things online, and I do that, I've had a couple bizarre electronic charges through my checking account, which I stopped. You know, I would have to call and say, I don't know what this is. I never ordered this. $200, $400 or something like that. You got to, every day, by the way, you have to look at your checking account. If you buy things online and you use that, you better check it, because once it's cleared rather than pending, you got to get it back, and the banks will protect you. But I mean, it's red tape getting it back. Takes a few days. Let's go to Ashley in Wall Creek, California. What's on your mind, Ashley?
Walnut Creek. Hi, George. It's nice to speak to you. A long-time listener. I've actually been listening to you for years.
Thank
my
you.
Mom. I wanted to talk to you about, actually, I was listening the other night, and you were talking about, or with a woman who does voodoo, or who does.
Yeah, that was earlier this week.
Right. She's and then earlier this evening with Lady Shadow, and... Mm-hmm. I just wanted to know, you know, I tried to call the other night and then earlier tonight, but have you ever heard of, like, a Catholic kind of hoodoo?
A Catholic kind of hoodoo? I have not. I have heard of Santa Maria, and that may be Catholic. Look, I could be wrong on that, but that could be Catholic. And they have done some different things with that. But no, a plain Catholic hoodoo, I have not heard about. We'll be back. More open lines on Coast to Coast AM. We hit August, but let me tell you, once we hit September, this year is gone. Fastest year I have ever encountered in my life. Anyway, let's go to some more of the phones here. Open lines for the rest of this hour. What's left of it? Kathy in Anaheim, California, west of the Rockies. Hi, Kath. How are you?
Hi, how are you? I'm
good.
So glad I got to talk to you.
Thank you.
There's a really big issue that I wanted to bring up, as I mentioned to Tom. about security. I mean, are we going to have our fighter jets escort this plane in? Who's going to protect the hospital or university, wherever it is that they're taking them? You know, those are my concerns.
Oh, you're right about all that.
Just in the past, you know, just this year, we've had a plane disappear or whatever happened to it, and then one bombed, you know, shot down. And how fast would this stuff spread? And, you know, and I really feel for them and for their families, but volunteer or not, I'm sure there had to have been some kind of a waiver that they signed, you know, saying that, you know, they give up something, you know, that they might be exposed to some deadly disease.
Oh,
they knew what they were getting into.
I mean, great people. They went and they risked their lives and all that. But I mean, my gosh, this reminds me of that movie Outbreak. Remember that?
Well, yeah, they're not just a movie, but have you read The Stand by Stephen King? It's an old book that he wrote, and it started from this guy getting something blew up, like got destroyed in the plant, and he got out and he went to his wife, and then his wife in the car went to the gas station, and then it just passed on and on and on. I don't know if you've ever heard of that book, but yeah, it's just like that. I mean, come on, this can destroy villages there. So think of the city here. I mean, yeah. What kind of security is there? That's basically what my question is, you know, they're saying that, I think when you mentioned how the airplane they're transporting itself is like Fort Knox, but I mean, like I said, who's going to protect that plane? Are we putting fighter jets up and protecting the plane?
Well, and you know what? And those troops are going to have to be there with masks on and everything else.
Who wants to do that even? You know?
Do you remember the scene from Close Encounters of the Third Kind? Did you see that movie?
A long time ago,
okay. Do you remember the cow scene? All those dead cows?
Right.
And, I mean, they were doing that almost as a smokescreen because of the UFOs, but...
and just not too long ago, there was a whole village wiped out in... Or how long ago was that? It was quite a while ago, but I remember seeing the body bags and them cleaning this village up over in Africa or something. Something like Ebola, but I don't know if it was Ebola. I mean, that's just my big concern, you know, so I'm totally against it, and I'm sure that they had to sign some kind of waiver stating that they wouldn't. Hopefully they would be compassionate enough to say, hey, we don't want to potentially spread this to the rest of the United States. And it's a disease that's never been on our soil before.
I kind of read up more on it,
but it's just, yeah.
Kathy, we will watch what happens. Simple as that. Let's go to Chris, first-time caller in the state of Washington. Hi, Chris. What's on your mind? Welcome to the program.
Hey, George. How's it going?
Good, Christopher. All is good.
Well, I was just wanted to comment on that the young guy who called in earlier. I'm 23 years old. I just turned 23 this month.
Well, happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. And, I just started listening to your show maybe... I found it beginning of last year, maybe, because I moved out to the state to work at Boeing, and you know how that goes.
Yeah, good company, makes a lot of money for a lot of people.
yeah, a lot of other people.
Yeah.
But, it's just everything that's been going on in the world lately. It's too much.
As a 23-year-old, how do you feel about all that? These wars and everything else? I mean, does it bother you?
It's a lot different than how I thought things were gonna go. You know, as a young kid, you know, you feel like everything's just gonna be okay.
Don't have to worry about anything.
Yeah, and then you get older, and it's like, oh wow, reality is this is how the world is.
Yeah, absolutely. I sometimes wish I had the comfort of my parents still, if you know what I mean. As a little boy. They took care of everything. We didn't have to worry about anything. Dad took care of it. Mom took care of it. I remember when I was a kid, probably about 14, 15 years old enough to stay at home, and they went out, you know, went out to get a little dinner or something, and I stayed home, petrified that something would happen to them and they would not come home. It's the worst feeling I think I ever had. Let's take one more call, then the break, and we'll come back with more calls and a text message. We have Ray in Lakewood, California, Colorado. Hey, Ray, thanks for the call, and you are on the air.
Hi, George.
Hi.
Glad to finally get a hold of and talk to you.
I'm glad you got in. What's going on?
Well, I've been listening to your show for about 2 years now, and I really get interested when they talk about the solar flares and the EMPs that could possibly wipe out our entire electrical grid.
Starting Monday, wait till you hear other news media outlets starting to report this. We're pushing it big time now.
Yeah, that's good. I'm really glad to hear that. But the one subject I don't know whether I just keep missing it or whether I don't, or whether it's been talked about and I just haven't heard is, but what would be the effect on the nuclear power plants in the country or other countries? Would they be knocked out also?
They have generators that'll last a little bit.
Yeah, but I understand,
but not
that
forever.
I understand that that it knocks out everything electrical, so like
that's
cars
right.
wouldn't work.
That's right.
Vehicles
everything.
Wouldn't work. Well, generators are similar to cars, and that I want would they work? Is that's my concern.
Well,
I mean, would they be able to?
Would their wires get cooked, for example? If they do, the generators won't work.
Right. I mean, has anybody thought of this, or is would they be able to keep these plants cool while cool these plants down while this is? The solar flare is happening. If my car doesn't work, it's not a big thing.
The plants, the nuke plants would be one of the most critical aspects of all of this, and they're not talking about that either. Those generators for those plants, very important, but they can't last forever. We're talking about an episode with an X flare that could knock out the power for months, if not years. That's crazy. Got to get fixed. We'll keep pushing that. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back. Final segment here on Coast to Coast. Let's go to Donna in High Point, North Carolina, on the wild card line. Donna, good morning.
Good morning, George. How are you?
I am cooking along. Thank you.
Right on. I love your show. And I was just sitting here thinking how reminded by John Payne's pamphlet of Common Sense way back when our country was founded, which we seem to have lost completely. Common Sense tells me that we shouldn't let these people into the country. Though I feel for them, they made the choice. And now they're going to, risk us all. It makes no sense to me allowing them in. Why didn't they quarantine them there for 6 months or 3 months, and then bring them home if they survive it?
You know what? I agree. I feel sorry for the illegals who are trying to come into this country because they want a better life. But, you just can't take care of the entire world. I mean, it's unfortunate. It's a fact of life. You just can't do it. And whether these, you got people coming in with Ebola or illegal immigrants trying to, come into the country, you got to stop this stuff somehow. And
absolutely. I mean, where is our government protecting us?
Nope.
I don't see it.
Yep. Common sense. Simple enough.
Common sense.
But we don't have
Thank
that.
Thank you.
All right. You got it. We got a text message. Tom, what do you got there in the old studio?
Gary from Indianapolis. George, recently I had an uncle pass away, and I'll be having to explain what happened to my little boy. Do you have any ideas on how I can make the death talk easier?
I wonder, does he say how old the little boy is?
He does not.
He does not. Well,
you got to assume, though, it's
difficult.
Someone that doesn't
Maybe he's
know.
4 or 5 years old,
yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Where is he? I used to. I mean, it's always important, I think, to prepare young kids about death and, to tell them about the soul. But you sometimes they just don't get it. They don't understand
but
it.
You could scare them, too, right?
Yeah. If you're very, you got to be very careful.
I mean, because then when they say something like, oh, I don't want to lose you, Daddy, or something like that.
Yep. Absolutely. Okay. West Patrick in Spokane, Washington, you are up with us. Go ahead, Patrick.
Hey, George.
Hi.
Yeah, what I want to talk about is this Palestinian-Israeli issue.
Okay, and it's a big issue. It's a huge issue. Go ahead.
It is. And let me cut right to the chase. The Palestinians, in my opinion, they build in bomb bunkers. It's not about tunnels. They just like in Iran, where they build in all those bunkers to protect their nuclear weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is what's happening in the, with these pots. They build in bunkers. This isn't tunnels. Is a distraction, just like Alice, you know, when Alice in Wonderland going down the tunnels, and what does she find? The tunnels isn't what it's about. It's you know, Hezbollah with Hamas building, you know, 300 feet down. They build in bunkers to withstand Israeli bombs.
And everything else.
Yeah. And if they can do that, what's going to happen to Gaza if Israel cannot destroy these missiles? What happens? I mean, if they, like, 300 feet down in bunkers.
Israel will eventually succeed in wiping all that off if they have to. They're not going to stop this time. They are prepared to finish this. And I mean, this ceasefire that did not happen tells me everything that I believed about this entire episode. Hamas will not stop. They want Israel destroyed. There's no negotiating, and they're full of so much hate in these other poor Palestinian people who are living there without power, going through this. Can you imagine these poor little kids seeing this every day? It's horrible. But their people won't stop, and they're not going to stop. And so Israel right now has no choice, as tragic as some of the other damage has been. They've got to keep doing this. I mean, it's intolerable. What do you think the United States would do if somebody continued sending and launching bombs into our country? They'd act pretty darn fast. I mean, sometimes they act a little too fast. Look what happened during 9/11. Still in Afghanistan, and honestly, still in Iraq. Let's go to Randy in Reading, Pennsylvania. Your turn, Randy. You are up with us on Coast to Coast. Go ahead, Randy.
Good evening, George. I hope I come through clearly.
You are.
I wanted to make a couple comments, since we like to talk about conspiracies, the possibility that they're bringing these people in to introduce the virus so that they can declare martial law when it breaks out and take total control of it.
Well, let me tell you, that's as far-fetched as it seems. I think they're capable of doing anything right about now, don't you?
Yes, and that's very scary that is a possibility. Anyhow, I hear that you had some of my fellow parking lot sweepers on tonight.
I did. They're doing great jobs. They're up there in New York.
Well, I'm in Pennsylvania trying to make a mess.
I love it. Stay cool out there.
I try. I have the fan on, but the air conditioner's broken. So.
Oh, gosh. Hot August days, to be sure. Next up, we go to Jeremy, truck driving somewhere in Illinois. Hey, Jeremy, go ahead.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, sir. Thank you.
I was just going to, something that's been on my mind about the Ebola virus, why they might be bringing them back to the United States.
What do you think? What's going on?
I think they might be trying to create an outbreak in the United States to possibly use that as a first step toward population control.
Well, that you may be right, too. I mean, there's always been this talk that they want to get this population reduced worldwide down to 500 million from the close to 7 billion people we have. Can you imagine that? 7 billion people, and some of the elitists would like to get it down to 500 million people. That is a huge plummeting drop, isn't it? Well, almost out of time. Rob Simone, Saturday. I'm here on Sunday. emerging artists. It's Tony Bennett's birthday, so make sure you're part of the program. It'll be a split show. We've got two great guests for you. And then for the rest of the week, all kinds of great things for you here on Coast to Coast, so just stick with us. And again, download our free apps in our store for the iPhone, for your Android. Become a Coast Insider. If I could get every one of you to become Coast Insiders, you would just love the information that you would get all the time. And for those of you who are into television, www.beyondbelief.com, and take a look at those trailers and some of those programs as well.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden, and I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware, but now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid, but as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening, wherever you may be, whichever world you're living in, whatever century, your voice is always welcome here on my radio. I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast.
For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Lottasour, Timothy Banal, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burles, George Knapp, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.